Hello, Sister Saints. Sister Deb from don'tperish.com. I hope you're all doing well, and praise God for this day. It's a cold one with lots of snow yet, and we're thankful once again every day for everything. But these nice little wood stoves keep us warm in this off-grid living that we do. So it's pretty awesome. But anyway, it's also given us a lot of time to catch up on some ministry work. And I'm doing some changes on the website. And you might notice on the blog, I'm not going to be posting on there anymore. We're going to be having all our stuff on don'tperish.com. I'll post some reminders on the blog just so people maybe that are new. We just have a page that we're going to put the links of everything new in there, and it seems to be more organized and we get to have a little bit more control over it. And it's kind of nice because I was telling another sister that blogs that it works well for me because I can do bits and pieces here and there throughout the day. Because I don't normally have time to just sit, especially when we're traveling. It's like we're always on the go doing something. So it's nice. I can just kind of put something here, put it there. And at the end of the day, just kind of put all the links there. Maybe it'd be easier for some of you to follow and see what's new all in one spot. But because on that page is Brother James' offerings too. So we're hoping that will be a nice benefit to those of you who are following along. But anyway, I just want to share something. I was reading in the Old Testament and came across this passage, and I thought it'd be a good topic for us to ponder. I read it, and I told Brother James, I said, you know, that sounds like something really good I could share with the sisters. And I said, I'm thinking about an angle to take to kind of use that as a good teaching example. And he said, he gave me a title, he said, Sacrificial Love. And I was like, oh, I like that. That's awesome. So anyway, let's go read it. It's 1 Kings 3:16-28. So I don't know if you want to go. Oops. Hold on. I got to go back and get it now. I don't know if you want to go get that because it's kind of a little bit of a read here. That way you can follow along. Anyway, 1 Kings 3:16-28. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, Oh, my Lord. And I, this woman, dwell in this one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together, and there was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. And when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. And so, yeah, as we read through that, we see that the real mother was willing to sacrifice her relationship with her child for his well-being. She was willing to give him up to that woman who was wicked enough to take him from it and then give her her dead son. She was willing because she loved her child that much. And don't we see the example of the ultimate sacrifice here in John 3:16-17? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What an awesome sacrifice that was. Like the ultimate one that we could, no matter what we do, it's not even going to come in any kind of comparison to that. The God of the universe doing that. And, oh yeah, well, yeah, because people like to pull that out of context, I also want to read this part here too. John 3:18-21. And he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love their darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. So, you know, as we read that, I mainly wanted to read that to round out John 3:16, because everybody just pulls out the one part and forgets about the light and darkness. But it also points out that when God sent his son Jesus, when he came here, it was to bear the sins of the world. What a thing to sacrifice for the love of another. I mean, that's pretty amazing, you know. So it's a good question for us to ponder. Who are we willing to lose for Christ? You know, when we're born again and we're cleansed from the inside and the Holy Spirit indwells in us, our life is going to change on the outside. Not just how we look, but how we act, who we associate with, what we talk about, what we listen to, where we go, what we do, all of that stuff. And that obviously causes issues with those around us. And so when that happens, who are we willing to lose everyone for Christ, like our friends and family? And here's a really, really hard one for some of us anyway, our children and grandchildren. And we know many women can't get past that one. Well, a lot of men too, but talking to women here. So I wanted to read Matthew 19:29. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. So whoever's willing to forsake all that for his name's sake will inherit everlasting life. And that's a pretty big cost when it comes to those we love. You know, a lot of people might be like, oh, I don't really care about material possessions, or I don't really care what I look like or whatever. But then when it comes down to the people that are closest to them, yeah, most of them turn away. And we see that in our ministry over the years. Many, many people had great fruit in coming out of the world, and we could see the evidence of the Holy Spirit working in their life. And then it was a husband or grown children or their grandchildren. I mean, this isn't anything that Brother James and I haven't gone through. I mean, I've shared enough to show that we've been through pretty much everything there is to go through, from in our secular life being transformed into Christ followers. I mean, there's so much through our lives that we've been through, we know and we understand. And in some areas, the cost is very great, and we have to consider, are we willing to do that? And in this instance, it's who are we willing to sacrifice our relationship with, our love of them, be willing to love Christ more? Because he says, if whoever doesn't hate their mother or father more than me isn't worthy of me. Doesn't mean we hate them, but it means that we love him so much that the contrast is there. So, yeah, it's one of the biggest places people stumble over. And yeah, there's a lot of demise in that, and it just breaks our heart when we see that. But I'm not saying that, like, you know, when you're born again and you start your whole life is transformed and you start seeing that separation, I'm not saying you just, like, turn and ignore everybody and walk away from them. But what you're going to see is that as you follow the word in obedience, is that you don't fit in anymore, and that most people are going to leave you. You have to be ready for that, because that hurts almost more when they reject you for it, as opposed to maybe you just kind of wandering off and going away. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like a double hurt on that. And you got to know that ahead of time, and you got to be prepared for it, but you got to keep your focus on the Lord and remove your flesh. And it teaches us how to walk in the Spirit when it comes to that. And, you know, They're not going to like who you've become, and especially those who claim Christ but are living disobedient lives. They're definitely not going to like who you are, and they're not going to want to be around you as you live a holy life and try to correct them in the scriptures because they're claiming our Savior's name. And yeah, everybody that you used to have fun with, like partying or hanging out with and watching movies and wasting your time shopping, and when you're not participating in all that anymore because you've been bought by the blood of Christ and transformed, they see that marked difference. And most are going to leave you, but there will be times that you have to separate from people, especially those who claim his name and they won't repent. In the instances that you can, there will be a spiritual separation there. You won't be able to be united spiritually with them. And so it kind of brings us to the light and dark. We have to be very careful about it. You know, we don't just like isolate ourselves in a room to stay away from everybody or anything, because we're supposed to be a light in the world to everybody, regardless of whether they believe in the Lord or not. We're supposed to stand here, be a light, preach the gospel, and contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. And we don't want to lose our saltiness. We're supposed to season our speech with salt, which means always pointing to the Lord. Those people are lost. And we have to be willing to turn them over to the Lord in order to follow him. He's more capable of taking care of all those people than we are. So what I'm trying to get at is, you know, we got to be careful about the light and dark and the closeness that we have. Well, let's go read about it. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he believeth with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's an awesome promise, isn't it? To be the daughter of the Lord Almighty. And I just wanted to say, you know, I just did an audio, and I talked about how we're supposed to be, we're like strangers in a foreign land, you know, and as you come to Christ, it's not that you just, like I said, you don't just run and hide and separate. We have a job here. Now we're soldiers for the Lord. We are to be in and among and living, just not participating and loving and partaking of everything. We're to be that shining light, the ecclesia, the called out. So that way everybody around us can see the truth and conviction. And if they're seeking, they'll see your light shining, and that could be a great encouragement and help for them. So, yeah, anyway, what I thought I would do is, I was going to read Luke 9. Oh, no, I think, I have Philippians 3:8 here. Yeah, that's right. I wanted to talk to you about the cost of all this is nothing compared to Christ and eternal life with him. And this is one of my favorite verses. Philippians 3:8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And that pretty much just sums it all up there, doesn't it? So remember that verse when you're faced with some of these hard things that you have to separate from. So anyway, I think now I'll just read Luke 9, 23 through 25, because that's kind of a good ending to all this. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? That's pretty sobering. All right, sisters, I'm going to let you go with that. Much love to you all. Hold fast. May God be praised.